Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that we have a facility to meet in, and we can come together over your word, study your word, see what you have to say to us, and then apply your word in our lives. Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit is the teacher, so teach us tonight, we ask. Give us utterance. Father, I ask for eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that understand. Lord, as we receive your words, we receive faith and grace, and we purpose to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, where we left off was chapter 7, the prayer of praise and worship, which was about 6 weeks ago. I actually skipped ahead and did, to chapter 10, which was praying in the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to do the prayer of praise and worship tonight. Let's go to Acts 13, and we'll start there. I'm just going to read it off my tablet. It's easier. I was going to say this. As much as we're learning, because we're learning a lot, which is good, but do your best to find certain parts of it that the Lord emphasizes to you and then put it into practice. Because you'll learn things or you'll hear things. How many of you ever, you've been in a service and you hear the minister will say something and you're like, yeah, that's for me. And then they'll go on for 5 minutes and it's like, who was that for? You know, you got to take the parts, because there's multiple people in the room, you got to take the parts that you hear that register in your heart and then use those parts in your life, because that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And then, well, because you're using your faith in the service you're expecting, and then if you're not hearing anything that sounds like it's for you, use your faith for the person next to you. You know what I mean? So you're just constantly using your faith. You know, one of the things that the Lord is doing for us is, because Satan had to kind of deprogram Adam, where because he fell into sin. In other words, Adam, when he was created, he didn't come into a sin-filled world. So Satan got in at one point and then just continued to work because he had authority to work. So Adam went from light to darkness. We're going from darkness to light. It's a reverse. So to walk by faith is not, you don't wake up one morning. You know, I've been in around people and some very zealous people for the Lord, some good people, and they, you know, sometimes think, well, if I fast and pray for a really long time, or if I read through the Bible all at once, faith walk is day to day, consistent year to year. The people that are strong are just steady. They just keep going. And they'll have points where it's like, whoa, this is a mountaintop experience. And then they'll be like, but they won't get frustrated that that's not happening every day. They just keep going. Keep doing the right thing. Keep doing the right thing. Keep living in faith and exercising faith. What you're doing is you're training yourself out of darkness into light. And as that progress happens, you don't see it all at once, but get around somebody who hasn't seen you for 10 years. They'll go, what happened? You know, it makes a difference. So keep that in mind as we're learning some of these things. And then if it's something that is new to you and you haven't seen it before, but it's in the Word, practice it. Do it. This side of this message, as far as the prayer of praise and worship, is something that the church does not do very often. And I don't know if you read the chapter or not, but in the teaching, he talks about much of the church service is geared toward you. It's geared toward me. The ministry of the word is about meeting your need. The songs that we sing are more toward us than they are toward the Lord. And what we're going to see in these passages is that you had a group of people that got together with no real need other than they wanted to worship God. And that can be challenging for our generation of church people because they're so used to having everything about them. I don't know if you've noticed this. But I've studied and looked at different ideas for churches and stuff like that. Most of the stuff that is available is all about how are you going to make it comfortable enough for the people so they'll come. You know what I mean? And like I was talking to a guy today, and he said, Sean, until I started listening to the podcast of the service, he said, I thought you just, you know, did whatever you wanted all week and then went to church. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, I never even thought about reading the Bible till I listened to you preach. And he's been going to church for years. And it puts a fire in me. I just want to lay hands on people. You know what I mean? It does. Yeah, fivefold ministry comes out of me. But I just, and not because I'm mad at any one person or anything, but how far away has our culture, even our church culture, gotten away from what relationship with God is? Let me tell you, if you really have an encounter with God, everything else pales. There's nothing that satisfies. I don't care. It doesn't, I mean, I like sports, stuff like that. None of that compares to God to me. Nothing does. I'll drop it all to get done what God wants me to get done because I've encountered Him. And I don't just encounter Him in conferences or through someone else's ministry. I encounter Him when I read my devotion in the morning. I'm getting understanding from the Holy Spirit and things are happening that are... I don't know if I want to say that. But things are happening that are changing my life. And not just in I never saw that before. But it's an impartation of eternal things into my mind, into my heart. It's eternity seeding in me. See, I'm not just working for this side. Mm-hmm. This is eternal. I have to stand before Christ when I'm done. I heard Lester Summerall say, I live every day for the judgment seat of Christ. I heard Lester Summerall say, he was going to a meeting one time. Actually, I heard this story. I didn't hear him personally say this. But I heard this story about him. He said somebody was driving him to a meeting, kind of a chaperone for him, and they missed their parking spot. And the driver put it in reverse, and Lester Summerall said, no, don't back up. And the guy said, what? He said, I'll just pull in. He said, no, drive around. He goes, what do you mean? He said, I don't go back. And to most people, that would sound crazy. But he's got a truth in his life. I do not go backwards. And the thought is, of course, with God. In other words, I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going back. I go forward. And if you know, it sounds overly intense and things like that. And the only reason why it sounds that way is just because we've slipped so far away from what the Word teaches into kind of a social gospel, a comfort gospel. My dad calls it a country club gospel. But just, you know. And the thing, going back to the story about the gentleman I was talking to, he said, the thing that really fired me up inside, and I've heard this more than once, but the thing that fired me up inside was, he said, you were saying everything I was looking for all my life. Here he really loves God. And yet, it's he's intentionally, or maybe it's not intentionally. I mean, I can't blame everybody. It's just kind of where the culture is at and misunderstanding about certain things. Ministry gifts are not given for the sole purpose of church attendance and numbers. You know what I mean? I mean, we want people to come, sure, but why? if your life is not impacted, if something does not change inside you, if your world is not altered and you're not fed spiritually and you don't go away from the service with this strengthening on the inside of you, then why did you go? And why? This is not a popularity contest. This is not who can see who the best pastor is in the city and whoever gets the most people to come. That's not it. I have not found that in the epistles. I've looked. You know, because we take the passages that we think, you know, like Paul or early in the church where it says like 5,000 or 3,000 were added to the church that day. And if your church isn't doing that, then your church isn't right. Really? What about all the times Paul got stoned and thrown out of a city for preaching? What about the times where that didn't happen? What about the times where the church went through immense persecution? And they were driven into caves and different things like that. So we have to look at it from a balanced perspective and not allow the world. And we now have a church subculture in church. We have a church culture that is developed around certain things that have nothing to do with the Bible at all. My sole purpose for you, we want you to be blessed. We want you to be warm. We want you to have the nicest. As we move forward, God's going to give us the best of the land because we're willing and obedient, and that's what happens. You eat the good of the land. But that's not my sole purpose for you. If God called me to preach and all we had was caves, you know, I'd sweep the cave. I'd give you your own spot. And we'd see who came. You know what I mean? I watched a video a few years ago. I have the video. And these people went to a cave. It was a Chinese. It was a video of a Chinese revival that was going on just a few years ago. Wasn't long ago. And he said, he showed this video and they're in a cave because they can't meet publicly. And it's so packed, all they can do is stand like this. And it's wall to wall, all the way to the front. And they stay in the service for 6 hours straight. There was a testimony of a guy. He was he went over to preach in China in the underground churches, and they brought him. And the place was so packed, he stood like this, and all the people were just like maybe to the podium, but they were just standing all the way back because there's no room to sit. And they said, "Okay, preach." And he said, "Well, what do you want to hear about?" They said, "Everything. Just tell us." And he preached for 8 hours straight. Just preach, 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 preach. And then they realized they didn't have Bibles. They were born again, but they didn't have the Bible. Have you seen that video on Facebook of that group of Chinese people getting Bibles? They pick up they're weeping and kissing the book. Because they have the Word of God. In some parts of the world, they'll pass sections of the Bible around and everybody gets their turn because they don't have what we have. And in America, you can have how many Bibles? And they're just stacked up. You got a teen Bible, a kid Bible, a baby Bible, a first Bible, a computer Bible, an iPod Bible, the journal Bible, yeah. A parallel Bible, a wide margin Bible, a NIV, NKJV, NLT, BBE. You know what I mean? All these. I got a 26 translation Bible. It's about that thick. But yet people go through their lives and like, "Well, I go to church. I don't know why my life's not changing." Hello? I asked this guy, I said, did the pastor ever tell you guys to read the Word? Well, no. I'm like, what? You're starving to death inside. You're dying spiritually and not being fed. It just is like, I feel like Jeremiah. I burn in my bones. You know what I mean? It just feels like fire in me because if our life will be changed, my life was radically changed when I encountered God. And I heard a preacher say, "I read the Bible every night before I go to bed." So I started doing it. And then when I went to Bible college, you're like, you need to read the Word, read the Word, read the Word, study the Word. Some people don't crack their Bible outside of church. And they wonder why they're frustrated. And then they come to the pastor and go, pray for me and make this situation go away. Hello. That's like teaching your kids that only you can feed them. What are they going to do when you are gone? What's going to happen when they move out? Why are you taking all your laundry to your parents' house? Because, like, when I was a youth pastor, I had a bus driver. He drove the bus for the church, but then he also drove the public school bus. And these little kids would be so disrespectful to him, you know? And he'd look at them, and he wouldn't get mad at the kids. He'd look at them and say, I ought to spank your parents. Because they're just not taught respect. They haven't disciplined and trained. And we'll see as far as pastoring, ministering goes, I mean, something should burn in you. Something should challenge you. Something should irritate you if the word is preached. It should challenge what you believe and then draw you to a higher place in your expression of God in your day-to-day life. And the Word of God is living and powerful. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides. The Word of God is a hammer. It's a sword. It's a fire. The Word of God is food to you. It is spiritual nutrition. And a lot of times it's like when you quit drinking pop and drink water only. You don't really feel the effects at first, but after like a week, you're like, oh, I feel a little looser. You know? My joints are moving better. It's the same principle. You can get, I've read myself saturated in the Word. When I was first saved, I would just take the Word and just go sit. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you. She wanted to hang out because we were dating at the time, and I'd be like, no, I got to go home and read the Bible, you know? And I would go, that's right, you had already read it 5 hours, I know. I had to work that day, I know. And I would go home and just read and read and read and read and read. And honestly, I didn't understand a lot of what I read, but it didn't matter because it was God speaking to me. And He delivered me. And He's my King, He's my Lord. He's my everything. And, you know, there should be that burn, that passion. I had an interesting day at work, so it's still kind of in me. But don't let it, as you're hearing things, as you're learning, it's not just information. As you put it into practice, as you do what it says, God gets access, because those are acts of faith. It releases God's ability to work in you. You know, I mean, give yourself a challenge of being the person made fun of for being too Christian. Go ahead. You're going to mock me? Go ahead. My self-esteem does not come from individuals. I don't need a safe space. I don't need you to protect and hide me. I've got Him. I hide in the name of Jesus. You know what I mean? We were talking to a guy. I mean, the fire of God lives in me. Daily. Not just, He's everywhere I am. I don't walk onto jobs by myself. I don't go anywhere by myself. I have angels with me, always. You know? So, anyway, remember to apply it. Remember to do it. And then expect God to move. Because when He does, man, things change. Things change. And as you get into the light, the areas of your life, you just go. It'll make you feel uncomfortable when you're in that light a little bit. But just keep going. Because eventually, those areas just wash away. And then God will keep growing you no matter what. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you, you know? So anyway, I just wanted to encourage you with that and then challenge you with that, because the purpose behind, I mean, how many times have we heard this? I heard it again the other day. Man, you know, people that have come or and then they go off somewhere else, or, you know, sometimes sheep just go over the hill. And you just got to stand there and wait, you know. There they come back, you know. Back up over the hill. As a shepherd, you just, okay, you're not going to like it over there. You know, they come back kind of limping, missing fur in spots, you know what I mean? The wolves are out there, aren't they? Yep, yep, that's what I thought. But people will sit in the service in here or at different times and go, man, what? It's different. I feel like you know, people will say things like, it just makes it so easy. You just make it so easier. It's so practical. What it is that they're hearing the word under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And they haven't had that. And all of a sudden they get it. It's like, what is this? Because when the anointing comes with the word, everything that the enemy is in a person's life, they may not be totally free yet, but they'll come in here and the enemy goes, he can't take it. He just gets boom. So the thoughts, everything clears out and that person calms down and settles down and experiences joy for the first time ever. And then they'll let other things steal it from them and they get out into the middle of the world and they're like, oh, what happened? Or go back to where they were and they're like, I'm just depressed. I'm just this, that, the other. What happened? Simple. You're not getting fed. God's word and the anointing are undeniable. You can't fake them. You can put together the prettiest little sermon with PowerPoints and, you know, fancy handouts with definitions and fill in the blanks. And if there's no anointing, they didn't do anything for you. They didn't do anything for you. There's got to be the anointing. And so, feed. You know what I mean? Learn to adjust your life to where God is just, you're getting more of God every day. I'm not talking about quitting your job, I'm talking about you're getting more of God in everything you do. Well, how are you going to do that? Man, you got podcasts. We already talked about how many translations are available of the Bible. You can get the Bible on your iPod. On audio and play it in your vehicle while you're driving down the road. And at first your flesh will go, I want to listen to music. I want to do this. I want to do that. And you just say, shut up. We're going to listen to this. And then when revelation goes off inside you, you'll go in smiling to a store and you won't even know why. And people will look at you like, everything's going wrong in your life. Why are you smiling? It's in here. It's not out here. This is subject to me. How are you going to win? We already did. We'll be just fine. Every need will be met. Every bill will be paid. We'll be strong. We'll be blessed. We'll have peace in our hearts, our minds. We'll have food and clothing. Amen. So, talking about the prayer of praise and worship, Acts 13:1 says this. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was also called Niger, Lucius and Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now this is what I want you to see. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Okay, what we've been talking about is different kinds of prayer. And what oftentimes the only kind of prayer we are familiar with is the prayer of petition or the prayer to change things. We also call that the prayer of faith. This text, though, says that they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. Ministering to the Lord and fasting is the prayer of praise and worship. You could say that it is taking time to just wait before the Lord to see what He is going to say. How many times have you been in a service like that? Just wait. Just wait before the Lord and see what He says. Now, this is something that is very counter to our culture currently, because we are very, our culture is instant. You won't be able to hold their attention for longer than 30 seconds, so your commercial has to be 30 seconds long. Everything is Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, 140 characters or less. Do you know God will not adjust to that? He will not. I'm not saying you can't use those things to speak about God. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God is not going to let you have a drive-through relationship with Him. Well, I ordered at the window, God. And I said, in the name of Jesus. God is not Burger King. You can't have it your way. You know what I mean? He is not that way. These men understood, and this is what we're learning tonight, they understood the importance of ministering to the Lord. And people say, well, what does that mean? That means you're just waiting on God. You're sitting and waiting. Yeah, but I got stuff to do. Oh, I'm sure they had stuff to do. But we're waiting on God. I know, I experienced this some, of course, in Bible school and then also as time went on, but in different church services and things. They used to have church services that went on for 3 and 4 hours. And now the church culture has adjusted to the culture to where if you speak for longer than 20 minutes, people nod off. Why? Because they've been taught not to listen. Sometimes all the answer is be still and know that I'm God. Just wait. Well, how are you going to, what's the answer to this problem and this problem and this problem? Why don't you just sit in God's presence for an hour? Well, but I got stuck. Well, do you want the answer or not? Because oftentimes you'll go to God in prayer and you'll say, God. Now, our culture has gotten way away from this in the church. Not in everybody. There's still a group that is this way. But they'll want to run to God and go, God, I need an answer on this and this and this. And you said in your word, if I would ask and believe that I received, then I would have. So what is it? But see, God's not a slot machine. And you can't take one scripture and then ignore the context of the word. A lot of times God will just say, why don't you come sit up here for a little bit? Yeah, but Lord, you know, we got this stuff we got to do. And my planner says, you think God cares about your planner? In that sense. Obviously, He knows you have to go to work. He understands that. He knows you have to go to work. He knows you have to be there by 8 or you get fired. You know what I mean? Or there's a demerit, whatever. But He understands that. But my point is this, is that at some point, you're going to have to learn how to just wait on Him. And just be patient. And just take time. And what you'll find is the answer is in the fellowship. The answer is in the fellowship. Did you know that family time can take away from God time? It can. Well, my family's first. Well, then God's not. We'll just let that sit there. And if you think I'm preaching heresy, go read Jesus. Well, you're saying your family's not first. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying how you're telling me that if I put God first, He's going to lead me to hurt my family. That is such an arrogant statement to me. And that thought, even that thought, just makes me want to help people. You know what I mean? Well, it's just, it's such a, because what happens is, you don't realize it, but what you're saying is, I know more than Jesus. And everybody has been in that place where it's like, oh, wait a minute. Something's not right here. Something's not working out right. And sometimes it's because God's not first. But you wouldn't know that unless you took time to wait on Him and minister to Him and fast. Take time to fast. People say, well, I won't be able to eat. Well, not necessarily. Why don't you just fast a TV show? Why don't you fast, you know, like the latest thing? And the news or the commercials will mock it, you know. You can, like Netflix has this and others do, but you can show binge on your favorite show. You're telling me you're going to spend 8 hours of an entire day watching a TV show? It doesn't make sense to me. Okay? But what if you just took 2 hours to wait on the Lord? I bet you wouldn't be as tired as you are. Right? You're spending time with strength. And the things that you're concerned about or the enemy has piled up on you, they melt in His presence. They don't last. And then when you come into, and this is how the church is supposed to be. You're actually supposed to be full when you come. I mean, well, I should say the strong are, the mature are. And others should be learning to do that. See, I don't come to church waiting for you to fill me up. I learned a long time ago, I don't wait for the preacher to fill me up. Now, I'm not saying I don't get anything out of the preachers, because I do. But I am not waiting for them to read for me. I will not wait for them to study for me. I will not wait for them to pray in the Holy Ghost for me. I will not wait for them to minister the Lord for me. Never. Never. I never will. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I want to know the Lord. I want to know Him better every day. I want to walk in with Him closer every day. Because there's enough stuff in the world that if I waited for the preacher to do it, I'd be in trouble. I don't want to have to call somebody to try and get me out of a mess. I want to know the Lord, walk into the middle of it and go, what do you want to do, Lord? Show me. And then He'll say, why don't you come up here and sit down? Let's just wait. Let's just minister to the Lord. Let's just worship Him. Let's just sing a song that just ministers to Him. You know, like we sing, and I'm not against any of these songs, so just bear with me. I'm just taking it from the other side, okay? I'm giving the roundness. You're going to the other side of the mountain right now, okay? Oh, how He loves us. Oh, He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. What if we sang about how much we loved Him? In worship, some of this has been lost. I was in service, it was two Sundays ago or something. And now, I'm going to make a statement here, but I know this because I was praying about it and looking at it. But Mark was leading, and Brett had you go a little bit longer, and you broke into another song about holy, singing about holy. And I don't know if you felt it. See, I felt it. And this is something actually I've known about you for a while. But there is there's the word of faith side of the camp that I know. But there was a side to Brother Hagin that was like I wouldn't call it an Assembly of God side, but like just an old-time Pentecostal side. And there's a place there that I experienced that you go to. You've lived from there a lot. And so when we went into that song, I went, oh, ho, ho, ho. It's like you just kind of dip into the water just a little bit more. You go a little bit deeper. And people are like, what is this? Because a lot of times, you know, like kids at a pool will like just splash and jump around the edge. But as you get older, you want to go out into the deeper. And that's a side that is what is being talked about here. They are ministering to the Lord. Has nothing to do with their office as a prophet or a teacher. Has nothing to do with being an apostle. Has nothing to do, it just has to do with having a depth of relationship birthed out of experience and faith toward God. And there's this interaction that takes place. And I don't know, I know you know it. You probably know it more than you realize you do. But there's a, you can hear, feel, sense that depth in people. If you're spiritually aware, you can feel it in them. Because they've gone to a deeper place that maybe you haven't experienced before. And when on that Sunday, I was like, oh, we're right there. And honestly, we're going to go there more, especially as we kind of make adjustments on the building and services and stuff. I've had the privilege of ministering kind of out of that place and in that arena there. I mean, it's familiar to me. I knew we could go somewhere there, but I knew that just wasn't the time yet. But what's happening is it's like a parent in the pool and the kid's afraid to get in and they're like, see, psh. They slap the water. And the kids are like, oh, it's not so bad, you know. But this is pastoring. This is ministering to people. And they're like, oh, maybe it ain't so bad. And they'll get in kind of at their toes and then their ankles. And then they realize the water's not going to eat them. And so they take them a little deeper. It's just that process of trust being built until you take a group to a deep place. And that's what's happening here. This is that ministry, that prayer of praise and worship. Praise and worship. And in the midst of that, the Holy Ghost said. They weren't looking necessarily for the Holy Ghost to say. They just came together and ministered to the Lord. And then revelation came. Light came. Understanding came. The anointing came. So in the midst of that ministering to the Lord, where you have a group of people that have one heart and purpose and just fasting and waiting on the Lord and saying, Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. We honor you. Praying in the Spirit, just loving on the Lord and just ministering to Him. You can't think in terms of like a worship team. They didn't have worship teams like we do today. They're just ministering to the Lord. They're singing out a song to the Lord. They're acknowledging Him and calling Him holy and telling Him, we love you, Lord. We're so thankful for what you've done for us. They're not there petitioning or asking for anything. They're just taking time and yielding to Him. And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. And that was the benefit of it. But it was about ministry to the Lord. It was about giving back to Him. Brother Hagin tells a story in here, a testimony, I shouldn't say a story, a testimony in here about there was a young minister who was about, I think he was 16 or 14, and he was a traveling evangelist at 14 years old. Okay? Now today, people think, what? But in the old Pentecostal church, it just happened, man. Kids would get the anointing, would come on them, and they'd preach. Anyway, this young man went to a church. The pastor was gone. He was holding a revival there at the time. And somebody had called the pastor's wife and said, our child's having convulsions or something like that. Something was going wrong. And so they called this young evangelist to go over there. And they prayed over the kid, and they rebuked the enemy in the name of Jesus, and they declared the word over him, and nothing changed. The pastor's wife was there, and she just quietly started saying, Jesus, Jesus. And then everybody gradually picked it up in the room, and they just kept saying it, Jesus, Jesus. And as they did, that child just stopped convulsing and everything normalized. And then they kind of got to talking and stuff like that, and all of a sudden that kid went back into the convulsions again. And here, I love the faith of this group. They go right back to the word and attack the thing. They don't look at each other and go, what are we going to do? They go right back to the word and they use it. Of course, that didn't work. Not that the word doesn't work, but the answer was here. So it goes back to this wife of the pastor, and she just starts saying Jesus again. And they did it and just said it together and just honored the Lord and worshiped the Lord. And in the midst of that, the child was healed and nothing ever happened again. They were just inviting, ministering to the Lord, and His presence fills the place. Wherever God's presence is, the enemy cannot be. He hates it. He hates it. It's like a couple of months ago, we had a family come here that was from the ranch, and they were dropping their daughter off here, and it was the mom, the dad, and then there was two daughters, I think is what it was. And the one daughter that was here for treatment could not sit in our service. She just, whoa. Why? We irritate devils. Now, if they stay, we can work with them and get them free, because we have the authority to do it. We have the anointing to do it. We're anointed to do it. You're anointed to do it. Not just the pastor, you. Now, I will get in the mess, trust me. I like it. Okay, I like the group. I like the spiritual fight. So, but I like to get in the middle of those things too. But you have the authority in Jesus' name as well. But the atmosphere of God manifests, and when it does, things change. They don't stay the same. And so that was what it was demonstrated at that point there. There was another time, Brother Hagin had a church, and this is one of the things that the Lord dealt with me about. But in his church, it was called the Farmersville Church. They had three services a week, but one of them was just a service to minister to the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to move. And it was just for believers. It wasn't for, I mean, outsiders could come, but the intention of the service was just for believers. And they would spend time just waiting on the Lord, and they would have spectacular things happen. Just spectacular things. And then in one service, they got to worship in the Lord. Every sick person in that place got healed. Nobody laid hands on anybody. It's just when God floods, sickness goes, we got to load up. Come on, how many of you seen that commercial where the mucus guys are like moving in, they're setting up there. It's more spiritual than you think. It's more like that than you think. They've tapped into something. And then, you know, of course, they lie and tell you that the medication is a healer. But it does help with things, but it's not a healer. But they tell them it's got to go. And they're like, oh, we got to get out of here. That's exactly how it is in the spirit. When God shows up, and people say, why haven't we seen more of it? Hello. There's a lot of it going on. And God is not the one withholding. He is not. God is never the problem. Ever. Right? Ministering to the Lord means to serve the Lord. It has to do with the idea of the priests and Levites who were busied with the sacred rites in the tabernacle or the temple. It has to do with Christians serving Christ, whether by prayer. Isn't that interesting? You can serve the Lord by prayer. Paul actually talks about, and it's mentioned, I think, more than once in the epistles, that they labored in prayer. How do you put those two together? Labor and prayer. What are you doing? We're working in prayer. We're working. We're laboring. That's interesting. It has to do with ministering to the Lord. It has to do with instructing others concerning the way of salvation or in some other way. I'm talking about ministering or serving or ministering to the Lord. In those things, you're obeying the Lord, so you're ministering to Him. But in this particular case, they were just honoring the Lord, thanking the Lord, praising the Lord. God made man so that He would have someone to fellowship with. God desires to meet our needs. We know that. If all we are doing is asking God for things, then we need to examine our hearts and begin to take time, both corporately and in our individual prayer lives, to wait upon God and to minister to the Lord. So in the midst of that, of course, the Holy Ghost spoke to them. We are made for God's pleasure, so He would have So he would have someone to have fellowship with. He is our Father, and we are born of God. We know that according to 1 Peter 1:23. God desires to speak with his children. One of the main challenges we face as a society is taking time. If you're going to experience what this body of believers experienced in Acts 13, you're going to have to take time to minister to the Lord. This means you will have to remove something from your schedule. Think about in Paul's day. What did they have? They had entertainment. They had sports. They had, what else did they have? I mean, they had everything. They had false religions. They had all those things. They had tons of stuff that they could do. They had theater. They had all of those things. So there has to be a decision that's made. I'm going to shut this off and turn to God and allow him to speak to me. And when you do that, then it opens up heaven to you. It's not that God is resisting or going, no, I'm not going to talk to them. He wants to, but he's going to wait till he has your attention. Have you done that with your kids? Stop. Look at me. I'll do it with Ian more than any of them because he's the more bouncy one. You know, can't sit still. And but he's like, I can't sit still. Dad. I said, no, son, don't tell me you can't sit still. You sit still. And then he'll look. And then when I have his attention, then you can have a conversation. And that's how God is too. And it's not that God's hard or harsh about it. It's just the way it is. It's the way it is. And I will say this, it is for your benefit, not just his. God is not telling you don't do this because he wants to ruin your fun. He's trying to save you from death. That's exactly what he's trying to do. So, let's see. Let's go to Acts 16. And then I'm going to go to one other scripture and you'll see this. Verse number 22, it says this. It says, then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. So what we see here in Acts 16 is that Paul and Silas united in prayer and ministry to the Lord. We see this in Acts 13, that the believers joined together in united prayer and ministry. United prayer and ministry to the Lord brings the power of God on the scene. Paul and Silas were singing at midnight. This can be symbolic of times of seeming darkness or of tests and trials in our lives. But thank God we have God's word and we can pray. Many times just to pray is not enough. We need to sing praises to the Lord. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this in a situation where you pray about something and then turn right around and go, Lord, we just praise you for that. We thank you. You're a good Father. You're a good God. I don't know if you remember this, but in Acts chapter 4, they actually even before, well, in the process of describing what happened to them, at the end of it, they start declaring how big God is. There was a point where the disciples were in a tough situation. They had been told not to preach. They had been beat up. They had all these things happen to them. And they talked about what had taken place to the congregation. Then when it was done, after they had talked about that, they spent a bunch of time just worshiping God, just honoring God, just declaring how big and how good and how strong he was. And then they asked God to do more of what had gotten them beaten. Isn't that interesting? They asked God to do more of what had gotten them beaten. And God, do more miracles. Most people would be like, oh, no, don't ask for that. That's what got us in trouble. You know? But not these guys. They're like, what happened? We got beat up for Jesus. It was awesome. What? Yeah, look at this. Look at this blood on my back. Now, I'm not saying you should go like find somebody and just try and irritate them till they punch you. These guys were preaching the gospel. They were anointed to do what they were doing. And the people had rejected them. But what did they do? They went to the Lord and then asked for more miracles, more signs, more wonders. See, and this is another thing. I thought all signs and wonders just created massive churches. I thought, we're word people, right? Well, we got to take it all into context. Sometimes the people accept it. Sometimes they stone you and throw you out for dead. How are you going to tell which result was right? Did Paul miss it? It's just good thoughts. Because just because you're right with God doesn't mean the rest of the people around you are going to go, oh yeah, I love that message. Yeah, to preach it again. They'll resist, they'll fight. But we have to stay the course with the word and wait on the Lord. And then you'll get strength. So after you pray, after you minister back to the Lord, give back to the Lord. Honor Him. This is not about how well you can sing or can't. It has nothing to do with your vocal ability. Nothing. God sees the heart. There are people with amazing voices, and God's going, that stinks. Stop it. Why? Because their heart's wrong. They just want to be seen. They don't want to honor God. They're not worshiping God. They're not laying their heart out before God. They're putting on a show. And the bigger the stage, the better. You know, I know I've ran into this a couple of times. There are musicians that refuse to plug into any one church because they can go play at all the churches. Oh, that's going to help you grow spiritually. See, it's all about them. It's not about God. That's a huge problem, especially in a culture where it'd be one thing if you didn't know any better. But people are claiming that God is their Lord, that Jesus is their Lord. So there has to be that difference, that separation to where you begin to go, okay, Lord, this is about you. It's not about me. In the testimony about the house for the Castor Lions, one of the things Lindsay shared in there was, that really blessed me was, I don't care if this ever comes to pass. You're God. You're God. I'm not. Well, I never got a house like that on this side. Trust me, your house on that side is going to be much better. God is not like, you know, efficiency apartments all around heaven. You know. Well, you know, I'm practical as God. Yes, Lord, we could tell by the pearl gates when we walked in and the gold for streets. Very practical. You know, from that perspective, you're gonna have a mansion. You know what that word means? A landed estate. Look it up. It's manor. It comes from the word manor. A landed estate. I heard a testimony about a guy who was a doctor who died. He fell off, I think it was a roof or something like that, and hit his head and died, and went to heaven. And when he got there, the Lord showed him his house. He had a mountain behind his house with a waterfall and a lake. And the doctor was like, Lord, whose house is this? And he said, it's yours. He goes, this is everything I love this. And he goes, yeah, I make them just for you. People are like, I don't want a mountain. I want a beach. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? It's what you like. But where do you think you got what you like? You know, I think people have this view of heaven sometimes because the devil's such a sorry liar and the church has ate it. Well, Lord, give me just a cabin in the corner of glory land. What scripture is that based on? That irritates me. Not because it irritates me personally, but because you're lying on God. He's huge. He's so big. He deserves you to just minister to him. Lord, look what you did. Look at these stars. I don't know if you've noticed. Maybe it's just near my house. But, man, the skies have been clear some of these nights. It's like you can see every star. I mean, it's just like, whoa. That ought to make you go, glory to God. It should make you go, thank you, Lord. Look at these stars. Thank you, Lord. You know, you get out of bed in the morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm up. I made it. None of that. It's actually been said, another good place to look at this, and we looked at it before, but if you go to 2 Chronicles 20, you can read it later. But where praise and worship gets them through. We'll finish with this. It's actually been said about Smith Wigglesworth that every morning he woke up, when he got out of bed, he'd do a jig. He'd just rejoice. Thank you, Lord. I'm up. And the first word out of his mouth was, Jesus. Jesus. If you start your day that way, remember we're talking about by grace through faith? Remember your words, you can either impart spiritual strength to the hearer or not. Ephesians 4:29. You're the hearer too. You're hearing what you're saying. Don't get up and go. Don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, I gotta go to work. I don't feel like going to work. What are you hearing and what are you imparting to yourself? Like the person that asked Smith Wigglesworth, how do you feel today? And he said, I don't ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. I tell him how he feels. Can you imagine being around Smith Wigglesworth? I don't think the church could handle it today. I often wonder if they could handle Jesus. Sometimes I'm reading, I'm going, man, Lord. He's going, yeah, that's who I am. Yes, sir. Thank you. Can we have some more? Because I know I'm the mess, you're not. You know what I mean by that? I'm the one that needs help. You don't. You're strong. You're perfect. And your nature lives in me. Train me how to live the way you live. And you wake up, you go, I'm blessed. I'm alive. People are like, you won the lottery. What? No, I'm not using my faith to win the lottery. Why do I need that? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was so rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. The grace of Jesus Christ made me rich. What does that mean? Oh, it means you're going to be a multi-billionaire. That would be up to me, what I want to do with the money. But the reality is, he has empowered me to have a full supply of life. And that grace can be released over every area of my life, depending on what I put myself to. So you say, Sean, what are you going to put yourself to? Preaching and teaching the Word of God. It is my goal, it is my passion, it is my desire. What about money? What about that? Make money. Do whatever you got to do. God will fly it to me through a raven if he has to. But what I'm going to do is run around and smack the devil in the head with the Word of God. That's what I'm going to do. Empower people to do the same. Give them the truth that's given to me so that they can hear the word and then walk and live strong spiritually themselves and then turn around and give it to somebody else. Amen. But I know what my call is. I know what the purpose is. You say, what am I supposed to do? Wait on the Lord and the Holy Spirit will say. Whatever it is, do that. hear and then do it. And it will be an act of faith. It won't be like you'll have to take steps of faith along the way. Well, it doesn't make sense. Exactly. It doesn't make sense. Right? All right. Bless you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.